Hello, hello. How's everybody out there doing? YDBT Daily. Monday, May 9th, back on the grind, back on the same bullshit, back doing flex tunes, back doing the same old thing we've been doing all along. And today was a good day because I came across something that I've always thought was odd. I've always thought was perplexing in terms of the data that I was looking at. I was like, this data is not making any sense, and I wanted to verify some things, and luckily we have some customers that actually know what the fuck they're doing, and I wanted to make sure that I mentioned to you guys some information that I found out, which I thought was funny because it's a nice marketing trick to say something makes more power at a perceived boost number that's significantly lower. Like you and I both know, you all know, 10 PSI. Okay, guys. Okay. Pop quiz. 10 PSI pump gas on a Coyote. How much rear wheel horsepower does it make? Go. 10 PSI at peak RPM, max RPM, pump gas, rear wheel horsepower on any Coyote, Gen 1 all the way to Gen 3. How much of Brett Burke's fucking retarded? Of course, Brett Burke would say some dumb shit like this. So you guys are pretty close. 650, 640. No, that's too high. Good. Wrong. Good. Okay, so Pito Chiquito says... He says, same as the three valves. Okay, so when all of a sudden a manufacturer starts making or claiming 100 more, 80 more, 60 more horsepower at 10 PSI, more than any other blower, I'm saying more than any other blower, it's a little sus. So we'll talk about that and how it's a pretty neat marketing trick. I'm not trying to call anyone out. I'm not going to say the manufacturer's name, but I think it's interesting to talk about, to be honest. And also you need to verify the boost number that your car is making. And remember what happened with Xander? Remember what happened with Xander not too long ago? How his car made astronomically more power with like absolutely no boost. Well, this is a good example of how that can happen. Let's say hi to the people. Let's get right to it. Andy Ali, 2000 MCR, douche did it. Denzel, Eliza, for Harley four-door, Brendan 5-0, Andy Ali again, fresh pastelas, all the pastries have arrived. TBE King says, let's go, Brandon. Just pooping at the gym. Who poop? Well, you guys are wild as fuck if you go to the gym to poop. Bra button that seat, you crazy. But Alex, I want to throw an 80 pounds of boost on pump gas. Good morning. Valley 10 speed cluster BM. Valley 10 speed's car is fucking flying, and we'll talk about that car too. Ron Lohenberg says, a Sentry with loud gears will not cause extra false knock as the quiet gears. Actually, it might cause false knock if the head unit is louder. Yes. JD Swag, TJ Sikorsky, Rich 5-0, the Hot Sauce, D-Rock Fox, Ivan Rodriguez, Ron Lohenberg, Wesley Stewart, Ivan again, Frank S. Edier, Jeremiah Rivera, Cortese, love that name, Tusik Coyote, Rocco, GTO Mike, Clean 93, Jared Wells, Victor, Clip Clop, Cobby, Jeremiah again, D-Rock, and everyone else, SVT Snake, Josue Flores, Miguel Lucio, Julio, Ray Ray, Neil, Robo, Nat, Bill Gates, Two Wasted, Zay Snipes, Ashton. Okay, so as always, Two Auto Solutions. And let me get back here, get rid of this, and then go to Two Auto Solutions and the Parts Farm, Two Auto Solutions. Thank you guys very much for being a part of the show and being sponsor of the show. You guys make it all happen, make it all possible. I can afford probably two girlfriend experiences for the amount of money they pay me a month. It's a good fucking time. So, okay. Not too long ago, y'all heard about Xander, right? Remember Xander? He made supposedly 700 horsepower on 7 PSI. And we all know that's absolute horseshit, or 8 PSI or 10 PSI. It doesn't matter. So in the last like year, I've started seeing some numbers on data logs that don't really make a lot of sense. I've started seeing numbers on data logs that are a little on the high side. I go, wait a minute. How can this guy be making 2.0 airload on a pulley he claims makes 8 PSI? It doesn't make sense to me. I go, I don't understand how. So I'm thinking, and I'm trying to do mental gymnastics because it's a very known math curve, very known housing, very well-known injector. Let's say ID1000s, Paxton, 3.8 pulley, right? That should be 1.5 airload based on the housing that Paxton provides and the injector data. So I'm starting to see lately, in the last year, 2.0 airload. And I go, excuse me, sir, can you verify the boost? And not many customers are willing to do that. Many customers would almost make you second guess what you're doing. Many customers would go, Alex, the manufacturer says it's a 9 PSI pulley. Why are you fucking with me, man? Just tune the car. And I start going, I mean, I might look like a bad tuner here, but I can't ignore the data. So I'm like, show me a picture of the pulley. Shows me a picture of the pulley. Son of a bitch. I don't know what's going on. So today I had a customer do something. Thank God he's mechanically inclined and he wanted to help a brother out. So he goes, hey, Alex, I got this kit, blah, 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 blah. I said, give me a wide open throttle pull. So we get a wide open throttle pull to 6,000 RPMs and the airload is 1.7. And I go, 1.7 at 6,000 RPMs? Coyotes are just like, LSs are done. LSs are tapping out at 6,000, but well, stock bottom end LSs. But a Coyote zings up to 7,500, 7,800, no problem. And I'm like, 1.7 airload, that is bitching. That's like stupid. I said, do me a favor, verify. He goes, Alex, it's pulleyed for 9 PSI. Alex, here's the number, here's the name, here's the pulley, here's the manufacturer, here's the chart. Alex, it's pulleyed for 9 PSI. I'm never going to be above. I'm never going to use anything but pump gas. So I'm not stupid. And I'm going to buy a pulley that's only 9.5 PSI. I watch your channel religiously. I subscribe to your shit. You and I are absolutely on the same page. I go, oh, okay, give me a watt to 7,500. 2.1 airload. And I go, bro, go to Arizona or Oregon. Those of you that know, no. Go to Arizona or Oregon and get yourself a boost gauge. Okay, so he goes to Arizona and gets a boost gauge. Those of you that know, no. And he goes, I measured it and it's 13 PSI. I go, wait, whoa. You told me you're 9.5 PSI pulley. You showed me pictures. You showed me stamps. You showed me and you made me feel like I'm like losing my mind here. And you're telling me you measured at the manifold 13 PSI on pump gas? Yep. Okay. Well, obviously that's wrong. We have to do something else. So he calls the manufacturer. Hey, so what the fuck? I bought a 9.5 PSI pulley based on your pulley chart. And my tuner is going, I measured it at the manifold. It's 13 PSI. I'm taking your word for it. So we have to see what's going on. The answer he got was this. We measure the boost at 7,000 RPMs. So coyotes that can go to 7,700 if the boost is measured up to only 7,000 RPMs, what do you think is going to happen when I add another 800 RPMs to that same size pulley on that same size head unit? It's going to see a lot more boost because centrifugals or even Whipples or TVSs keep making power past 7,000 RPMs. So I said, yeah, his pulley chart's way wrong. You have to measure that sucker. If you're selling a Coyote kit, Coyotes shift at 77, 7,800, most of them, even Gen 1s. So if you have a pulley that makes, that you claim makes 10 PSI, it better make 10 PSI at the top of the RPM pull. But people were saying this is a 9.5 PSI pulley, but then when you zing it to 7,800 RPMs, it generates 13 PSI. Remember when you guys were telling me that somebody made 750 horsepower or 730 at 7.5 PSI? I said, bullshit. Bullshit. Unless he had element 115 for fuel, there's no way that car made 700 plus horsepower at 7 PSI. Rule of thumb, guys. 10 PSI on any Coyote. Coyote makes 650 or so. And on a really happy day, I'm saying measured 10 PSI peak, it'll make about 650, 670 tops. So when you guys tell me this thing made 750 at 7.5 PSI, I go bullshit. So the manufacturer was measuring the boost at a very low RPM, you know, in comparison with Coyotes. Coyotes still make power way to fucking 8,000. So guys, just because the pulley chart says 9.5 PSI, go look at the RPM that they're testing that at all across the board. I remember when I worked at VMP, the 2650 was coming out. Okay. So if you guys remember the 2.3 liter TVS, the Gen 2R Roush 2.3, all the same shit, same rotor pack. So when you had an 85 millimeter pulley, that's about 8 PSI. An 82 millimeter pulley, that's about 10 PSI. A 79 millimeter pulley was 11 PSI. 75 millimeter, about 12 or 13. 16, 72, 69, you know, boom, boom, boom. So we had a chart. Travis, shout out to Travis Dean, who pretty much made the pulley chart for everything, every combo. Blower, this, boom. He has a fucking Excel spreadsheet. Guy was a boss ass G. Now works at Power by the Hour. Badass motherfucker. So when the 2650 came out, well, an 80 millimeter pulley now makes 15 PSI or 14 PSI. You couldn't just put an 80 millimeter pulley on a 2650 and think it was going to be safe on pump gas. So now you had to buy a dinner plate sized pulley to be able to run 10 PSI on a 2650. And I said to myself, that's probably overkill for anyone on pump gas. Any 2650 to be sold from here on out should be for guys that are looking to race only. But they made bigger pulleys and made it work. So what happened? The 2650, to be able to accomplish 10 PSI peak, needed like a 92 or an 88 millimeter pulley, and it felt lazy down low because the rotors aren't spinning as fast. When a 2.3 whips up faster because it's got an 80 millimeter pulley and it only peaks out at 10 PSI. Interesting, guys. Make sure you read the fine print on all of your spec sheets that tell you where they're testing that pulley at what RPM. When people tell you I made 750 horsepower on 7 PSI, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. You literally just said, well, this pulley's for 7 PSI, but did you measure it at the manifold? So I'm not crazy. I was watching all these data logs, and I'm like, I'm second guessing my tuning. I'm like, a 2.0 load on a pump gas car? He's telling me it's 10 PSI pulley. The math frequency is 12. Maybe he's right. Nope, I'm right. And Thank you to the customer for verifying. He called the place. He goes, oh yeah, we tested at 7,000 RPMs. What about the other 800 RPMs? So that's not their fault. Their chart's right at 7,000 RPMs. But we all know that coyotes live and sing well above that and are happy as fuck. So make sure that when you buy the right pulley for your car, it is at its peak RPM. And on coyotes, that's over 7,000 RPMs. Easily, plain and simple. So hopefully people take that into account when they hear who's making what at what PSI. We all know at pump gas, 650 is where you safely want to be on pump gas because of the inconsistencies of pump gas. Anything above and beyond that, danger zone all freaking day. Where's danger zone? Danger zone, danger. Do I have danger zone here? There you go. It's danger zone. What's up, Tony? Danger zone. Okay, so let's talk. What do you guys think? You guys have guessed the blower kit. Again, it's not an indictment on them. It's more of a buyer beware situation that don't fall into the I'm making 800 horsepower on 7 PSI. Yeah, no, you're not. Shut the fuck up. Apparently, shop Zender was apparently the shop. Look, I don't care. I'm not looking to indict the shop. I don't care. I'm saying is measure your boost at the manifold. Do not take any manufacturer's word for it. Because look, a cammed coyote, a coyote with stage 2 comps or stage 3 comps will make less boost, but it will make more power. So that power number versus boost is one of those highly suspect adjustable things where you can say, well, I made 9 PSI, but it made 700. Well, what else is done in the car? Well, I got cams. Oh, well, that changes everything. The cams make the car more efficient, flow more air, but you're down on torque. Haven't you ever seen that when someone goes 10 PSI, 650, 520 torque, and then they go put cams in it, make 680, 490 torque. And you're like, why did it lose torque? Simple. We basically moved the power curve to the right of the dyno sheet by basically making the car flow more air and have less torque down low based on the cam profile. Real simple. Boost is boost. I measure my boost at 14,000 RPMs. Got it, Ron. I was confused as to why it recommended the 6.5 PSI. Right. Good morning, bitch. Too bad you can't get a 2.3 TVS for a Gen 3. Oh, my Lord. Talk about the perfect blower size. MFP Australia, Main Force Performance, Matt Coates. He kind of tiptoe around this one, but he had a manifold design to be able to retrofit a VMP Gen 2R or a Roush 2.3 on a Gen 3. That's what I would get. Don't get me wrong. Do I want a 2650? Sure. Do I need a 2650 on a car that I want to daily and keep under 800 horsepower? No, I'd probably get a 2.3 Gen 2R, 80 millimeter pulley, pump gas, and if I want to party, shove a 69 on there, race gas, and I won't need a fuel system. I won't need any of this bullshit. The car will make 800, no problem. But I don't want to do that because I like my car as it is. But a 2.3 TVS would be nasty in that car. People lose their minds when you tell them to go to 2.3 TVS over a 2.6 on a stock motor car. You know what I mean? It's great marketing. It's wonderful marketing. Look, how many of you guys bought an S21, right? You bought an S21, right? Right? Nothing wrong with your S21. Everything's fine with your S21. Your iPhone 48, whatever the fuck it is now. And then they come up with the 49 or the 22 and you go, I need it. I want it. No, you don't. Give me shit. But the company has to make money every year more, or at least they have to project that they're going to make more money. So are they going to be honest with you and tell you, you really don't need a 2650. All you really need is a 2.3. Hell, stock coyotes blow up at 850 horse and the 2.3 can make that no fucking problem. You don't even need it, bro. This 2650 is only necessary for those of you that are looking to push the envelope, build your engines, and party. No, they would lose money, right? They go, you need this 2650 to spin your rotor slower and feel lazy down low. You know, so it's a marketing thing you guys have to take into account. But I blame you guys. You're dumb. A lot of you are stupid. Oh, I need the 2650 for my 114,000 mile Gen 1 car. I had a Gen 1 black car, went 10-1 at 130 something with a 2.3 liter blower. Stop it. Stop it. I can't believe Xander says the things he says, self-snitching on YouTube, and doesn't get busted. Maybe as an undercover EPA looking to get people incriminate themselves. See, I don't even know what the homeboy is doing, and I really don't care. Honestly, he doesn't affect what I do, and he is not big enough. Like Cletus saying something, the EPA would be like, yo, you got a lot of eyes on you, and you're promoting, you know, this and this and that. But honestly, when someone says 7.5 PSI, 700 horse, I already know either the dino's happy or the motherfucker doesn't know what he's talking about, because it probably made 11 PSI. That makes sense. 11 PSI, pump gas, turn off the NOx sensors or put octane booster in it, cap the timing at 17 degrees or so. Sure, make 700, no problem. No problem. Cake shit. You see what mine does? And it's probably measuring, again, I have a 3.4 pulley on my car. The data log's telling me it ain't making 12, 13, it's not making 14 PSI. It's making 11 or 12. And that's exactly what it's making with the timing, with the airflow. So something's up with the blower, something's up somewhere. But I'm not going to go, it should make 800 so my motor's hurt. No, it's only flowing a certain amount of air. It's making the right boost for that airflow number, and the power output seems to be where it's at. How long will my stock clutch live at 650 horsepower? It'll last a while, but it'll lock you out at about 72, 300 RPMs. It's going to start locking you out. LS guy, putting 2-3 blowers on 5-3 now. That should tell you something. That's a very smart thing. Look, Greg Kong. Okay, let's talk LSs, right? Because, and again, this is why I need Mr. Crunkleton on the show. I keep saying I have no time. I have no time. Back in the day, CTSV blowers are 1.9. If I'm not mistaken, and if I'm mistaken, correct me on the chat, because I don't know shit about LSs, but I don't understand why they don't offer the 2.3. Real simple, and I'll tell you exactly why. The die that they cast the 2.3s in was starting to wear out, meaning the amount of times they've used that mold to cast 2.3 liter was starting to die out. So somebody had to pony up a lot of money for Roush or PAS, Performance Assembly Solutions, the people that make the blower, to recast that die or remake the tooling to make the template for all 2.3s. So then you have to make a decision. The 2650 is here. The 2650 rotor pack is here. Time to get after it. Do we invest the amount of money this company wants to charge me to cast a blower that is not going to make as much power as the 2650. Alejandro Flores would have negotiated that price to be as low as possible and re-stamped the 2.3. How many of y'all right out there wish a 2.3 was still available? I wish a Gen 2R was still available. The Gen 2R was a perfect size blower for Gen 1 and Gen 2 stock Coyotes. And the only time you should ever need a 2650 is when you're looking to make above 850. So anyway, Kong made a career out of porting the 1.9, and he was bum bum bum. Then he got his hands, if I'm not mistaken, on the ZR1 blower, and the ZR1 blower is 2.3. Correct me if I'm wrong. Correct? The 2.3 came in the ZR1. So then Greg Kiyosayan, Greg Kong, started porting that motherfucker. And that motherfucker, people were like, yeesh! The LS guys were like, this is a bad bitch. This bitch makes good power. Then the 2650 came out. Greg struck a deal with a blower manufacturer to private label some of these blowers. And it became a game changer. We were used to having 2.3s all the time since Roush shoved a Eaton 2.3 rotor pack in a nice case and made a nice little intercooler, heat exchanger, pump, and reservoir setup for Coyotes. LSs didn't have that. LSs relied on the stock stuff. But all of a sudden, the ZR1 had a 2.3, and that bitch was a bad motherfucker. That's a bad bitch, right? Everyone thought that was a bad bitch. Then the 2650 came out. All of a sudden, these LSs are making similar power to what Coyotes were making after cams and valves and da-da-da-da-da, but they were making the power because now they had the proper air pump. So that 2-3 es la luz. That the 2-3, in my opinion, is top dog for us peasants that want to just stay under 850. And the way it whips up, oh, get a max effort ZR1. And when they floor that son of a bitch, it's instant violence. It's instant, fuck, you know, this stupid. Whereas the 2.3 is a bit of a run up. 2.3 is like, ha! 2.6, And that's how I would describe the power delivery of a Whipple versus a 2.3. Whipple needed more displacement to match the 2.3's efficiency. Yes, you have to spin it faster. Yes, IATs are higher. I want that fucking cord. Rip the fucking cords off the tire power. Whipples didn't have that at 10 PSI. Don't you dare tell me a Gen 2 Whipple or even a Gen 3 Whipple had the tire shredding torque at 10 PSI than a TVS did. No fucking way. And I'm unbiased as fuck because I have a Whipple in my GT500 and I had TVSs most of my life. A 2.3 was perfect. So in my opinion, that blower was the perfectly sized blower for most Coyote applications. How many times do you see a 2.3 complete kit go for sale and it's on the market for months? No way. No freaking way. I'm telling you, it's like, boop, Gen 2R complete kit, CJ65 throttle body, PMAS 120, 1000cc injectors, a BAP, reservoir, a Roush pump, and a heat exchanger. Gone in a week. Gone in a week. I'm telling you, it was ridiculous. I love that karate chop of boost. Ha! 2650. Ooh. Then it rips shit. 2-3. Broken spider gears. Fucked up input shaft. Badass shit. I love that. Hey, Alex, in your opinion, while wheel horsepower seems to be the safe maximum before needed to upgrade the seventh gear clutches on an A10 full weight car. Anything boosted? Seventh gear clutches? Anything boosted? Okay, Ford did not design the clutches that are this big to have 650 wheel. That's why we extend six gear. Because we don't want you making a Watt 6-7 shift. I'm just going to rebuild the trans. No, you should just avoid that 6-7 watt shift. The Muse Engineering makes the 2.3 LS kit. It's pretty nice. It does. Look, LS guys are going to, LS guys, I'm talking right to you guys. You are going to absolutely love the GT500 Trinity blower. The price is going to go up. So if you have not bought yourself a 2.3 Trinity blower yet, start fucking getting it, because if these LS guys start getting 2.3 kits in their LS3s, 5.3s, I don't know if it fits, I think it fits a 5.3, it's going to be a serious time, because not only do the LSs make more torque, now they're going to have this cocksucker of a blower that makes the torque infinitely more powerful, and if they can get that sucker to stick, it's going to be a problem. But 7 is 1-to-1, confused. 1-to-1, exactly. Yeah, 1-to-1, and then it'll become more like an overdrive if you keep doing watt shifts from 6 to 7. I still have my Roush 2.3 on a 72-millimeter pulley. I love it since day one. I understand you guys want to do the internet bullshit, and I started seeing that when I worked at certain places, and I'm like, I don't care that this guy makes 1,000. Who gives a fuck about 1,000? If you guys want to start selling blowers for the ability for it to make 1,000, in my opinion, it's a fucking gimmick. Because the regular schmo, the 80% of the customers that have a blower on their car are pump gas hoes. They just want to be able to take care of a Z06. They want to take care of a Camaro, their friend's car, maybe a Red Eye. No, not a Red Eye. You don't got shit for a Red Eye. Maybe a regular Hellcat. And then now people started going, oh, I can make 1,000. No, you can't make 1,000. Or if you're willing to make 1,000, you have to be willing to blow it up. Now, a lot of people ask me, well, Alex, what do you think about the Roush 2.6 kit? This is real simple, guys. When I worked at VMP, we had a Roush kit. Yes, a Gen 3 Roush kit retrofitted into Track Attack. Retrofitted into, I never talked about this because I don't know why I was keeping it in the bank, but it happened. They gave us a, like, literally from the guy at Roush was so badass. He's like, well, if you pull up and some stuff could end up in your truck, you know, you all of a sudden a kit showed up, put it on Track Attack with a 85 millimeter pulley. It made like 700 wheel. Joe was laughing his ass off. But what was the biggest issue with that kit? The inlet air temps. A car had a dual fan heat exchanger. It had the Roush pump. It's basically a 2650 with the narrow intercooler brick on the bottom. And the IATs were 140, 150 at the end of the pull on a bitch ass car. And we said, ah, this is going to be the issue with this blower, the intercooler. Right then and there, I formed my opinion on that blower. Once the calibration came out, you saw that there was timing and throttle shutting based on IAT for a reason. You needed all the cooling on earth to keep that sucker cool. And it was wildly inefficient. And I said, this variation of the blower, the front feed gay shit, 2.6, is whack shit. Y'all made fun of me. Y'all say, you know what the fuck I'm talking about, blah, 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 blah. Tell me, if you got a 2650 Roush kit in front of a 2650 Roush kit in front of you, or a 2.3 Gen 2 R in front of you, and someone said, here's one of these for free, are you going to pick the high IAT 2650 or the bitch that makes 850, whips up like a motherfucker, and is the most sought after blower for Coyote cars in a long time? No, Alex said the Whipple Gen 2 made 1,000. The Whipple Gen, the 2.3 liter TVS Gen 2 R specifically, in my opinion, was the baddest little blower for Coyotes, period. I don't work for that company no more. I'm not a fan, but I, you know, real recognize real. Do you know what I'm saying? Big blowers on low boost pump gas are lazy. 135 trap speed. Is he making a joke? Because that's actually pretty decent. Just stopping by to drop a like. Just pull up to the back dock for a Roush blower. Don't let Coca-Cola hear that. That's what I'm saying. My little 1.9 makes 900 torque and 2,500 and 940 at 6,800. Your 1.9 makes 940. So what's the size of the motor? A 6.2? It's got to be a big boy motor with a big cam. Just pull up to the back of the, exactly. Hello, sir, says Jesus Perez. LS guys will be grinding off the 5.8 logo on Trinities, making them 5.3. Watch. Yep. There is a 5.8 casted right into a Trinity blower. So you got ULS guys. This is, man, John DiNapoli is on the money. You're going to take this logo right here and you're going to change it to the 5.3 or 6.2, whatever you got going on. That's what you're going to start doing. Trinity blowers are going to go up in price. And look at this. What a great picture. And it illustrates my point. This is a bone stock GT500 13 to 14 supercharger. Then we have a VMP Gen 2 R version. And then this is the Gen 1, the 2.3, like the Gen 1, you know, removable inlet situation. This is the first one. Stock, first one, and late. The Gen 2R was a bad bitch. So LS guys, if you come across some used Gen 2Rs, oof, Roush blowers, actually, you won't be able to get a Roush blower because the bolt pattern for LS guys are for the Trinity blower. It's a different bolt pattern. So be careful when you go out there buying shit. Whipple all day. Sure, buddy. I got one. I ain't impressed, bro. When are you going to tell the story on Track Attack? When I'm out of the industry. When I'm completely out of the industry. Ooh. When I'm completely out of the industry. Will any of the new tuning features that you have shared thus far be applicable on the A10 or just the manual trans? No, it'll be applicable on Gen 2, Gen 3. I'm doing some more testing today. Junior sent me another tune. Flashing on the car. We're going to see, because we're testing stuff out. That, look, the vetting process is long. We're just teasing you. We're just basically, you know, edging your dick. We're making sure that you want it so bad, but the vetting has to be there. Meaning by the time that we make it live, you know, by the time that we make it live, we're not just going to make it live and give you like some piece of shit. I'd like to think that if we do it live, it's not.
Okay. We'll do it live.
Okay. Because the last thing you want
is no, we'll do it live.
Bill O'Reilly. Okay. When you're doing
it. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
This fucking thing sucks. You don't want
to fucking
hear that.
Thing sucks.
You don't want to hear that. You want the vetting to be super legit. So you ask all the questions, we're going to start rolling out some stuff. And people might be wondering, why don't you just release it now? Because we are going to pull our hair that Brandon has hair, Dakota has hair, I don't. Pull the hair out of our heads trying to. The volume is ridiculous, guys. People think that we tune one or two cars a day. You think we tune 10 or 15 cars a day? We tune 60 to 80 cars a day. Okay? So don't think that we don't know what this can cause if it becomes an absolute flood, an avalanche of requests. Dude that has multi-tuning shit looks badass as fuck. Think we see more roll racing Stangs at 2K with that? I hope not. I want to adjust it. Shh. Valley 10-speed coming after the Whipple Boy soon. Valley 10-speed's car is so fucking legit. Matt 760 in the house. His car, so he showed me his draggy times and for the mods. It's a problem. It's a problem. That car fucking gets it. You know what I'm saying? What show is that clip from? It's not an Inside Edition. Bill O'Reilly, Inside Edition, do it live. Type that into YouTube, and it'll show an excerpt from a taped show where he was confused as to what the teleprompter was saying, and he lost his shit. That guy's a fucking drama queen, bitch-ass hoe. Yo, Alex, going to Miami Thursday. What are some good spots to hit up to do things to eat? Zeke, Villarreal, go to Brickell. Go to Coral. Is it Coral Springs? There's a shop there. You can go to Lincoln Road, Brickell. Don't go to South Beach. South Beach, whack shit. No, it's not Coral Springs. It's Coral Gables, is it? Which is the one that's really pretty, has shops and shit right out of the water. It's gorgeous. Yeah, Coral Gables. Is it Coral Gables? Where is it? Yeah, this is like, okay, you can go to Brickell. You can go to the Art District in Miami. You can go to Lincoln Road, which is like an outside mall strip that ends up in South Beach. I think you'll have a really tons of shit to do just in those three places. Would you recommend saving the extra cash for a blow over a centrifugal? A blowjob? How much are blowjobs? Would you recommend saving the extra cash for a blow over a centrifugal? Send him over to don't go to Hialeah. What do you mean a blow? Martin 392, is a centrifugal a blower? Martin 392, what's a centrifugal? Like, what is it? Okay, blower, my bad. Okay, but what's a centrifugal? Like, I need you to tell me what's the difference between a blower and a centrifugal. Oh, okay. I understand if it's cocaine blow. Isn't a blower though? That's what I'm getting at. I want to know what's the difference between a blower to him than a centrifugal. Procharger or supercharger? Hey, I don't like superchargers. I like Prochargers. They're better. A Prochargers a brand, dickhead? Do you know how many times I've heard that at a meet? Alex, would you get a Pro Charger or a Supercharger? And I'd say, well, the Supercharger is just super, but the Pro Charger is professional. So I would get a professional charger, then a Supercharger. A hairdryer is a blower. Asking what CEL means. Alex, I think the multi-tune has a lot of possibilities. I'd be interested in being able to have a tune for boost and race, fuel the 85, then be able to adjust your timing on the fly for boost and nitrous. Oh my God. Well, yeah. So let's say, for instance, tune slot one is capped at 20, 22. Well, the problem is we treat nitrous with boosted cars as more boost. So it would be maybe a degree lower if you're sending a lot of nitrous down the bitch. Honestly, it's just a timing table. So yeah, technically you can say, here's my E85 timing, but again, boost has to be commensurate with the fuel. So you can't say, here's my 25 PSI pump gas tune. That doesn't exist. Pump gas, 10 PSI. Boost in E85, let's say 21 degrees. Boost in nitrous, 21 degrees, but a little richer. Who knows? I think you're overthinking it already. I think you're already overthinking it. Insane Mustang says, technically turbos blow too. What would it take to make close to 1,000 horsepower on a centrifugal? Gen 1 Coyote built by a man with stage 3 cams. You're going to need a 20% lower and the smallest pulley on the head unit, like a big head unit, YSI or bigger, V30, that allows. So 1,000 is not hard to make on a centrifugal. Professionally charged. The straw is so much more hygienic. I just walk away. The more superset charger are out there, right? A blower charger has an AIT, an air intake. Should I get my supercharger or pro charger from Arizona or Oregon? AutoZone or O'Reilly's? Now we know there are three types of force induction. Did you guys hear, and I'm not on TikTok much. Sorry if I'm being a dickhead on your chat. No. Yeah, you're actually, Martin, I live for your comments like yours. You make this world a better place to live. I love you. Don't ever change, please. AC is a blower. So, okay, let's educate them today. A centrifugal is a supercharger. A Whipple is a supercharger. A TVS from VMP, Edelbrock, or Roush is a supercharger. They're all supercharger. Some are twin screw. Some are twin vortices. Some are centrifugal. Some are roots style. But they're all superchargers. So when you say, you should have phrased the question this way. Alex, would you prefer a twin screw or a twin vortices supercharger? Or let's say a positive displacement, even though that's a weird term too. Or would you prefer a centrifugal? On a manual car, if the centrifugal is legit and you're doing roll stuff, centrifugals just keep making power the more you rev them. TVSs peter out at about 7,200 RPMs. If you have cams, they keep going. Whipples also have a rotor pack design that tends to be more on the, you know, on the run up as opposed to like a hardcore and flattens out like TVSs do. So it's one of those things that you kind of have to have a set goal in mind as to how you want your power delivered, but they're all superchargers, brother. If you have to choose centrifugal, screw, or roots, there you go. Centrifugal, roots, or now if you're drag racing, screw. If you're drag racing, screw or roots, really, you know. If you're roll racing or highway bonsai run, centrifugal all day. Oof, yeah, that's me with the incorrect boost number. I'm so ashamed. TJ, is that you that's on the chat? No, you're fine. You didn't do anything wrong. You simply looked at the pulley you were told makes 9.5 PSI. You didn't do a damn thing wrong. Unfortunately, the blower company said, oh yeah, that's at 7,000 RPMs. You got another 800 to go. So yeah, it might be 13. And I just don't want to blow your car up because then who gets the blame? Me, you know? I have a battery charger, so I'm different. Oof, gotcha. 671 for the win, 871. LS3 swap S197 and run nines all motor. My friend said I needed heads if I was going to boost my car. Thought you needed headers to set yourself up for boost. Sorry, I'm new. Camaros are gay. Well, I don't even know what car you got. What car do you have? Do you have a Coyote car? Larry Bird's smegma was spicy. Nice. I like it. And he's gone. Can you explain the difference between a V3 and a V7? I cannot. I'm not that privy to that beefcake can. I know that with a V3, technically, you're kind of out of steam at about 800, maybe mid to 800, low to mid 800s. If you want to make above that, 1,000 and up, then a V7 is what you want. And then after that's the YS, and then there's a bunch of other designations. I just know that the V30 is a big badass head unit, and typically those go like on the crank. Mike Rasovic says, little late, but I'm finally able to enjoy the damn weather where I live in Wisconsin. You don't need beads. You don't need beads. Camaros are gay. Okay. Beads? Beads. Thanks for the answer. You got it. So anything mechanically driven would be a supercharger. Then a turbo is air charged, not mechanically driven by it, right? I don't think I worded this right. So How many of you saw the TikTok or Instagram video where a guy says, no, 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 twin turbo are two separate turbos, whereas one turbo feeding into another turbo is not twin turbo. You know, people were playing that clip and, I get way into the semantics. I go, well, technically the kid's right. But the way he said it was really retarded. A compound boost setup where a turbo feeds another turbo isn't a twin turbo, but there are two of them. So if you get into the technicalities of it, I think the kid's thought process was in the right avenue. I just think his explanation was super fucked up. Heads, sorry. No, you don't need heads on a Coyote, dude. Coyote heads are great. You can make 1,000 on a stock long block if it's a Gen 2 or even a Gen 3. Alex, would it be possible to have some sort of electric wastegate with a centrifugal and control the boost with the multi-tune? Oh my God, stop it, guys. You guys are going to get into the weeds. If you want to do that, how are you going to control the wastegate? How are you going to control an external device via the tune? Can you control the wastegate right now via a tune? Yes or no? Can you control a separate item via the tune right now? You guys are getting into the weeds, and this is why we don't just start offering shit, because you guys get kooky with shit. And someone will say, well, technically you could set up the... If you want wastegate control and boost control, that has to be an external device. It's the same shit we do now. It has to be this isn't MoTeC, where you have a boost controller set up in the operating system. This isn't MoTeC. This is nice, convenient stuff that you can change tunes like a Flex, E85, Ghost Cam, launch limiting. You guys are talking boost control via the stock operating system using multi-tune. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stock turbo cars, you can. Oh, my God. Leave it to the Ez last name to ask another retarded question. My guy started seeing that today. And they're like, why are they asking these questions? And then you look at the last name. Well, the multi-tune let me switch between my supercharger and my pro charger. Now you got it. See, you get it. Gotcha. My friends are retard. Also, what power level do you need oil pump gears? Crank sprocket. I hear 850 to 900. That's another sales gimmick that I think has gone widely oversold. But let's say I have a parts house. I'm not going to tell you don't need something. If I own a parts business, I'm not going to say, oh yeah, you don't need that. I'm going to sell you a blower, a tuner, different pulley sizes, a fuel system, and oil pump gears and a crank sprocket just because I can. Now, I've always told people, if you stay off the limiter, typically you don't need oil pump gears. But if you're really stressing the crank out, I'm saying you're pulling on that crank to make boost, like a high boost number, it's probably a good idea to make sure the crank sprocket and oil pump gears are aftermarket. But when it comes to do Roush blower equipped cars come with aftermarket OPGs? Yes or no? No. Do they offer a warranty? Yes. How can they offer a warranty on a supercharged car with stock oil pump gears? It's a gimmick, most of them. What's more cringe, shoots on a sub 150 car or wheelie bars on a 650 index car? Well, it all depends, second shift. So let's say I have a fully tubbed, like you, I saw your post. Let's say if I have a fully tubbed Chevelle with a small block 400 and I index at 650, I don't have to worry. And let's say it weighs nothing and it transfers weight. It does a show. But it's a 650 eighth mile car. Then I come back, do a burnout, and run a 650 again. Then I come back, do a burnout, and run a 650 again. There's skill there. There's a skill in terms of consistency, build. Look, if I just want to cut a 155 every time with the nose up in the air, boom, boring, I get it. But my job is to run a number and react. My job as an index racer is to run a number and react. That's it. So if I don't have to worry about the suspension, if I don't have to worry about what's the best and worst thing about the stick shift classes? What's the best and worst thing about the stick shift classes? The inconsistency, the crazy inconsistency. So when you see someone like a Joel Steele run 680, 680, 680, you go, holy shit, that program is tight, tight. But then you see a guy run 660 or 670, 720, 690, 81, you go, oh, you never know what's going to happen. But when an index class, Chevelle, small block 400, comes up with a massive tire, a 9-inch wheelie bars, and a stack, and he does a wheelie for about 2 feet and then lands it nicely, but he runs a 650 every fucking time. There's skill there. I don't poo-poo those guys. You might differ from my opinion, and that's your right, but those guys got a dialed-in program. I don't poo-poo the guys. Now, an index racer that runs 850, like, why do we make fun of 650 index cars, but we don't make fun of 850 index cars? Look at Alex Correa. Alex Correa has a Fox body with Pony R's running 850, 850, 850. I understand he doesn't have wheelie bars. But he has boost controllers. He has this and that ramp. This, a lot of electronic bullshit. Whereas the index racer that built it on the cheap, puts a small block 400, a carburetor, and wheelie bars, it's going to lay on the wheelie bar and do the same 60 foot every fucking time. I don't make fun of that guy. That guy's got a dialed in program based on what he wants to do. Also, question, where do coyotes live happily on stock internals? 850? I wouldn't say happily. I'd say 650 happily. 650 happily. Gen 2s can go up to 850 pretty safely. But anything past that or up to that point, past 650, it's a little sus. You can go out there and miss a gear or something and lose. That's why I never race for money. Got you. Thanks. Tom Brady teabagged me after he won the Super Bowl for 15 minutes. I like the comments, but then I just block them because it's funny. 60-month membership times flying. Badass shit. Hey, Alex, have you used UPR's coolant reservoir tank on a Gen 2? No, I have not. Do you know if it'll fit the PMAS cold air? I do not know. The stock tank requires relocation brackets so the cold air can fit. Thanks. I have not. I'm sorry. I have not done that at all. So OPGs are weak to vibration. Yes. 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 So a lot of people are out there going, oh my God, oh my God, you need old pump gears when you go boost. I go, no, you don't. When the fuck do you need to? I don't have old pump gears in any of my cars. That car had the number 7 Ringland field on the last motor. Now I'm on even more boost and chilling. I just don't lay on the limiter. What's a good top mount for Gen 2? Top mount. Okay, so you're talking blower. Gen 2, in my opinion, TVS. Gen 2R, in my opinion, is my first choice. But I am biased because I owned that combination at 800 wheel for many, many years. And I never had more fun, never broke a goddamn thing. That thing was super legit on the 85. It was tits. You know when I started breaking stuff? When I put the 2650 on it. Then I started breaking axles. I started breaking this. I started breaking that. My red car, rest in peace. Rest in peace to the dad and the red car. That bitch was a 950 car, 940 car all the time. 950, 940. If I would have gutted it, would have been maybe a 930 car. I never did because I didn't want to gut it. I wanted a full weight, nice car. Once I started making 900 and up with the 2650, everything broke on it. Index racing is for guys that can set up cars. Yeah, absolutely. I think not a lot of people make fun of index racing, but I mean, the index racer has a mini tub, a small block 400, an MSC two-step, you know, very simple stuff. All the other guys are taking their trans out each pass and adjusting the clutch. All other guys are taking their diff out because they're making 1100 wheel and their diff grenades on the line. All the other guys have a spare transmission. I get it. You want to swing your dick. It's all good, man. But I don't make fun of the index guy. Why? Like what is the benefit of making fun of the index guy? So he's got a tin can Chevelle. Homeboy's happy. He don't do a goddamn thing to that car in 3 seasons, but race it. And he probably wins more money than most. Let's say you have a dialed in 650 program and you go track to track and say, and you fucking destroy motherfuckers in 650 class. the maintenance on the car is minimal. The tires are fucking steamrollers. You don't got to replace them often. The car does what it does every time. I'm not that guy. I'm just not that guy to make fun of people.
You're not that guy, pal. Trust me. You're not that guy.
I make fun of everybody else. Did the red car get watered up? No, it didn't get watered up. It got watered up spiritually. It got watered up. They're also adding clutches to the problem gears. I know you really don't care. I don't know what he's talking about. Hey, Alex, a boosted Gen 2 6R80, a boosted Gen 3 6R80, boosted Gen 2 6R80. King Daddy, King Daddy. Hey, Alex, have you seen anything about Suncoast and their new aftermarket valve body for the 10R? It's not a pulse width modulation valve body, so it'll keep the fluid cooler. Yeah, no. And they're not adding clutches to the gears. They're not adding clutches to each clutch pack. As far as I know, I don't think Suncoast is adding clutches. Maybe they have a different F clutch pack from like a Camaro ZL1 or something, that 10R80. But they're not doing what Manuel does. Let's just say that. And I'm not indicting Suncoast, but Manuel does shit that nobody else does on the transmissions. That's why they last a while. Just got my 17 and it makes engine noise, 550 and Surtec or 530 and Surtec. If it makes noise, you might want to figure out why it's making noise instead of covering up with STP oil treatment. Making fun of the index guy, Will Smith smacking Pookie. And you said 650 happily, but I see these cars making 900 to 1,000, sometimes wondering how they're racing at that level. Show me a stock motor Mustang that runs 900. I'm saying stock, not studs, not re-ringed stock shit. No, stock. Not many stock Mustang motors are living at 950 plus and racing it often. Those are glory passes, ones or twos. You know how many times people blow up and you don't hear about it on social media? Bro, I tune motherfuckers that do that shit all the time. Hey, Alex, very educational video today. I'll try to send you a log this week. Poppy says Valley 10 speed. Thumbs up. Catch replay tomorrow. Okay, hope this is the issues that they're having. Yeah, we'll see. Cletus McFarlane invited you to the next Crown Vic race. You going? No, he didn't. He didn't invite me to shit. I know it's covered in the warranty. As you know, Ford won't touch or replace shit until it actually breaks. Beefcake. Run heat isn't your enemy. Most people actually run the transmissions too cold. Don't even think about making a pass below 140. The problem is lubrication, especially to the F drum. The lack of lubrication is what's causing the clutches to burn up, especially in the F drum. Seeing Alex at that Crown Vic race would be hilarious. I did not get invited. I got no text saying I got invited anyway. But I wouldn't go. It's not my people. They at least put head studs in and re-gap. Yes, exactly. So if you have a stock motor guy that re-rings his shit, studs it, yeah, that'll live a long time. We have a customer that was at Texas 2K in the B division. He ran too fast. It's a red. Looks just like that. Big guy, too. Bitch runs eights all the time. Got you. Guess these people don't know what a stock motor is. Hi, Alex. Manual Gen 2 currently has a 350 intake manifold with a lung tune. Do you believe the headers would make a good next step, or is it better to save long-term for boost or stock headers? I would do headers now, and that'll set you up for boost later on. You'll be a happy guy. Alex, I came in my car the first time the other night. Do you think I should part it out? Probably. If it's stained, and those jizz stains are very particular, they look like Rorschach tests. Oh, butterfly. So, yeah, we can tell what's going on down there. I gave up the search for Hellcat and GT500. Decided to go a different route and got a BMW M2 Competition 6-speed. The M2 Comp will be a daily driver. Throwback to E36, E46, M3. Viper will remain in the garage. You got a Viper, bro? Good for you. If you run the Crown Vic race, I'll fly down and watch it live. No one's invited me to anything. Damn, I was pooping at the gym and missed a good one. Camaros, okay, whatever. W clutch will definitely feel a gain with the headers. Yes, he will. Terry, what's your input on the tick and Ford saying it's normal? Come on, guys. The tick is I changed the oil in the white car and the engine made a little more noise. Now, I run 550 on every boosted Coyote I have, but I live in Florida, okay? It doesn't get under 50 degrees often at all. In the coldest months, it doesn't get under 50, okay? Typically, 75 to 90 is the norm with a nice little breeze. So I run 550 in all boosted cars down here. Did you have an issue with GT500 puking a small amount of fluid at the vent hole at the trans? Yes, I did. And what the fix was is to have a remote mounted catch can above the trans so that when it would puke up the line and catch it in the can and then suck it back in as needed. No problems after that. That's actually not true. The E drum is modified to accept more clutches and it's deeper than the F drum is modified as well as the D holds more. I don't know. I can't verify that. But I know one thing. Manuals trans have extra clutches for the longest time, Beefcake. Manuals trans have they have extra clutches for the longest time. So I don't want to get into the beef, but I know for a fact that more clutches are put into the stock stuff on a 1080 through Manuel than anyone else I've seen. Now, I personally have not taken a Suncoast trans, taken it apart, blah, blah, blah. And again, I don't sell parts. I don't have to say anything. I can say what I know. And I know that Manuel puts more shit in his trans. Suncoast might, but I can't verify that. John said my tick was worse than the normal one. He recommends 530 and Certec, 550 and that stuff. I'm Bradenton, so same as you? No, I'm not. Bradenton is not South Florida. You can get down to 30 degrees in the winter, but summer months, 550, you'd be good. Alex, you still have the phaser falling out of the position on the issue on the car? I think so, JD Swag. Why headers set yourself up for boost? And is that all just headers? Yeah. Why headers to set yourself up for boost? Now, I thought I'm teaching these kids. You want to get the exhaust out. You're shoving more air in the car. You want to get the exhaust out as fast as possible. So that's why headers set you up for boost. Any issues getting clutches for a 6R80? Oh, yeah. Good luck finding clutches for a 6R80. This labor shortage, this parts shortage, good luck finding a set of clutches. Good luck. What makes the Gen 3 faster than the Gen 2? Is it the 10 speed of the motor makes more power? The motor makes more power, has better heads, better cams, more compression. The DI doesn't necessarily add more power, but it's got better heads, more compression, better cams. That's it. Alex, I need to change my clutch soon. What works on your car and would they work on mine? If you're in Florida, you might be able to get linked up with Mikey. Yes. Hot Sauce says motor main 950 stock, but yeah, we know how that ended. Come on, guys. Don't make Alex think he's failing us. He's clearly a Camaro guy. Okay. I gave you 2 minutes more than I owe you. Today was a good show. Make sure you verify Boost claims your supercharger manufacturer is making. And if he makes Boost claims per pulley, make sure you notate where the RPM is being sampled at. Because if I'm revving your car 700 or 800 RPMs past their tested RPM range for a pulley, it might make more than 9 PSI. It might make 12 or 13, like I had a customer make. So verify your boost. Don't go out there telling people you make 700 plus horsepower on 7 PSI. So you look like a clown. Verify. All right, guys, I'm out of here tomorrow. Talking shit. The OG show, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're going to talk some shit, whatever you want to talk about. I'm sure we'll talk about plenty of things because a lot of stuff pops up during the day. Have a good one, guys. Enjoy the rest of your Monday, and I'll see you guys tomorrow, 8 p.m. Bye.